Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
All right, Dak Prescott, Skip's favorite subject, has gone through this entire season playing on the last year of his rookie contract. Jerry Jones says both sides were close to an agreement multiple times, but the deal just never got done. With negotiations going on all season, Dak was asked if he's surprised a deal was never struck. Here's his response.
I'm just not surprised. It's the business. It's my first time going through it. I'm not surprised by anything that comes from it, from the league, from the team, from whatever. Learning as I go.
Could a franchise tag be looming? Shannon, are you surprised Dak doesn't have a new contract yet?
No, I'm not surprised, Skip, because I heard from a little birdie that said the reason why Dak Prescott contract has not been done or wasn't going to get done in the matter in which Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones, and I told you, they were sowing these seeds. Or if Dak don't give us the discount and he doesn't care about winning, Dak Prescott's like, I'm not giving you any discount. And the thing is that when you're dealing with quarterback, Skip, is even if you err early. Because you can get away from a Ryan Tannehill situation. You can get away from a Blake Bortles situation. You let this thing play out like it's played out. He knows over the last 5 years, the cap is going up 40%. Now, it's reporting that the Cowboys might have somewhere between 70 and 90 million in cap space. Quarterbacks normally eat up a large chunk of that. Mm. Dak says, I'm getting that. I'm not giving you a discount and the cap is going up. Mm. I'm not. And I told you that. Look, Tom Brady has been an all-time great ambassador. He's everything that's good with the NFL, but he's also everything's bad because everybody points to Tom Brady taking a discount. And I tell people quick, Tom Brady flowers doesn't make my house smell good. I'm not worried about what Tom Brady did. Tom Brady chose to do that, so be it. Bless his heart. I wish him all the best. But because Tom Brady did it, that doesn't mean I got to do it. And because Zeke and some of these other guys giving you a discount, that doesn't mean I got to do it. And that's what Dak is saying. Skip, they could have signed Dak after their second year, and it would have cost them probably $40 million cheaper. Because if you go to Dak after their second year, Skip, and says, okay, Dak, we give him $75 million, we got $50 million guaranteed. You save yourself $40 million. Now, we don't normally see the franchise tag. Since 2000, I think Kirk Cousins got it twice. Drew Brees got it. Peyton Manning got it. And Michael Vick got it. So we don't normally see the quarterbacks get this, Skip. Normally, they go ahead and pay the quarterback. It's the only position that in the NFL you don't have to prove yourself. They'll pay you and say, well, we paid him. He'll get good. Everybody else, you have to prove it. Dak, I think he said, look, I won the division twice. I was rookie of the year. I put us in position. Who knows? He might win it again. Still, there's still an outside chance, even though you believe there's a small chance they win the division, but there is a chance. So you're saying there's a chance. Yes, there is a chance.
I'll give you a 1%.
Okay, 1% chance. So, Skip, look. Dak saying, I'm not giving you a discount. I don't care how much you try to sow this publicly and try to turn the public against me as I'm being greedy because I won't give it. Because here's the thing, Skip. There's no guarantee that if I give you a discount, we win the Super Bowl. So what happens? I give you a discount. We don't make the playoffs or we don't win the Super Bowl. Are you giving me the money that I lost? No. So I'm getting all I can get. I'll let you, like Jerry said, you know, Jerry's the businessman. Jerry's the guy. Jerry got all these guys, all this money. Jerry worth about $6, $7 billion, Skip. And they want a guy that's worth $6 or $7 billion, want a guy that's made $2 million, want him to give me a discount. Where they do that at?
Well, it's called the salary cap.
That ain't got nothing to do with me. No, Jerry got a cap. I ain't got no cap. I give him as money. I make as much money as I can. Jerry got a cap on the team.
Well,
I ain't got that.
You
got
to live under that cap.
I do. But I'm living up under mine where I need all that. I saw what Jerry Goff got. I saw what Walker Tillman got. And Skip Bayless says every day on Skip and Shannon Undisputed, here's the clip, that I'm better than Walker Tillman. I'm better than Jerry Goff. Pay me.
And every single day, even more than I ever say what you said, I said, you say that Dak Prescott is average at best.
They pay him.
You're so hypocritical. You continue to bang your side of the desk saying, pay him $45 million, Jerry Jones.
Somewhere between 35 and 40.
Yeah.
That's the going rate, Skip.
Okay. $40 million, says Shannon Sharp.
Yes.
Yet Shannon Sharp has relentlessly given Dak Prescott F's for his performances.
I didn't give them to him. He earned them, Jen.
Okay, so he earned F's.
Yes!
So if you're sitting in Jerry's chair, what are you going to do?
But I'm not in Jerry's chair. I'm over here in Shannon's chair.
Oh, you're in the head of the Cowboy Haters Club chair over there, right? Okay, I get it. So here's what happened this year. The reason Dak is not surprised is he and his representatives.
Todd Frant,
yep,
my homeboy from the crib, straight out of Atlanta.
I got it. They had a plan. They had a strategy. We want this number in these many years, right?
Yep.
And Jerry kept saying, no, 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 no. And for a while, Jerry's saying, boy, I got this going in the right direction, because he thought that Dak was playing for a contract the way Zeke and DeMarcus Lawrence last year were playing for contracts at very high levels, right?
Yeah.
And yet it was working and it was working and it was working until New Orleans. And then it started to unwork, and then it kept going like this, and then it went farther down and it went farther down. A little blip with the Rams, and then it went down, 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 down. And the point is, Jerry Jones gambled and lost on this, because Jerry Jones should have gone to Dak last offseason, even before camp started, and said, hey, and gone to a number that seemed like an overpay number,
but
really wasn't an overpay given what was about to transpire.
Right.
Because once you put Dak under the pressure of playing for a contract with a team that some, including this guy right here, thought was a Super Bowl team.
Yeah, a lot of people picked the Cowboys to go to Super Bowl.
The pressure mounted and mounted on Dak Prescott. And what was the big difference in this year and the previous 3 years? The previous 3 years, Dak Prescott led this league in fourth quarter game-winning drives. Mm-hmm. Led the league. And this year, he has zero of those. This year, he has repeatedly missed the throw in the game, time and time again. Why do you think that is? Well, I'm just going to play armchair quarterback over here, and I'm going to say he's pressing. I don't have my money. I'm the one guy that doesn't have my money yet, so I got to make that throw. And again, I believe his arm is seriously hurt, his shoulder is seriously hurt, but that Tavon play is going to stick in Jerry's craw, his negotiating craw. And I'm talking about the throw that here, we see it right here. You know, Tavon's what, 5 yards clear?
Yeah.
And Tavon can still run. I don't know if he can run 4.2, but he can run 4.4. I bet he could run 4.4.
Well, I don't know. He might have been 4.8, but he was 5 yards in front of the DB.
Okay, he's 5 yards clear. And you know what? I've seen Tavon catch a lot of those. He's not a ball dropper.
Right.
I think if you get it in his, he's a little man, but if you get it in his vicinity, I think he would have caught it and run with it.
And the thing is, Skip, even if sometimes in a situation like that, you just let him catch it. Yeah, you like to hit him in stride, but just let him catch it. You're further down the field than what you ended up.
Okay.
And who knows what happens after that. It just seemed like once he missed that throw, the air completely, because you can see it's on the Cowboys sideline. And you can see like, oh, yeah, we got. Oh, man.
Okay. Now, he did come right back and hit Randall Cobb with another 20-yard pass.
Right.
And they were back in business.
Right.
But that was the throw to win the game.
Right.
At least you'd have a chance to go for two and tie. Right.
Correct.
And I've seen it again and again in game after game where, you know, the Jason Witten play at the goal line or two-point conversion at the Jets. These are huge games in the big picture of things, the way the East played out. And it wasn't right on target to Jason Witten. Again, Marcus May went over his back and fouled him. It's an obvious pass interference. But on a two-point conversion play to tie the game and send it to overtime, at New York, they're not going to give you that call, and they didn't. But the pass was a little off target, just the way a lot of key passes have been just a little off target.
Right.
Now, statistically, top five QBR.
Right.
He had a really good year in the big, in the grand scheme.
And that's what they point to.
Okay. But 7-8 is what Jerry will point to. Mm-hmm. And it could be 8-8.
And Todd Frant's going to say, Skip Baylor say Zeke been running in Cabo saying. Mm-hmm. He said that defense isn't very good. That's what Skip's telling me.
Okay. And what's Jerry going to think about that? I believe Jerry believes he overpaid Ezekiel Elliott. And I believe he thinks he really overpaid DeMarcus Lawrence, because he didn't get anywhere near
a half a sack in the last six games.
Yeah.
But he looking for a lighthouse to show him the way to go.
$100 million you paid that guy to be a first-team all-pro pass rusher, right?
But what's the position that normally gets overpaid? Quarterback.
Okay, I got it. But the point is, this became a disaster of a season because it wasn't that Dak crumbled under the pressure. He pressed under the pressure. Mm-hmm. That's the only way I can describe or explain what happened repeatedly game after game.
Right.
He'd make lots of very good, very good, very good throws, mm-hmm. and then you give him an F because they lost.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Well, I think Jerry's going to negotiate off that. And I think he's going to push back. I do need a little hometown discount because in his heart of hearts, Jerry is now not completely sold on Dak Prescott. I know Jerry. He is a prisoner of the emotion of the moment.
But here's the thing. And the thing is, he had no problem making Tony Romo the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. Tony Romo hadn't done half of what this kid done in the first part of his career.
Well, that's a fact.
He had no problem. Remember, he cut that check. We're like, hold on. Tony Romo got $108 million with 55 guaranteed? Tony Romo?
Okay, but once again, he loved Tony like a son. I don't believe he loves Dak like a son because Dak has really impressed me that he keeps kind of an arm's length from Jerry because he knows he needs to lead this football team. And he knows he can't look like he goes to daddy when anything goes wrong. It looks like, you know, he wants the players to think, I'm in charge in this locker room.
What you're hearing from me is coming from me.
It's true.
It's right. Yeah, it's not trickling down from upstairs.
I'm not a double agent. Right. I'm not Jerry's son. Right. Right.
And the thing is, Skip, is that Dak also knows is that it clouds your judgment. If we're buddy, I'm going to have to give my buddy a discount. You know, if my buddy own a restaurant, you know, you're going to go in jail. You know, you're going to go in there home, girl. She own the restaurant. I'm going to come in there and get me a couple of drinks for free.
Yep.
I'm going to come in there and get my meal for half price.
Nope, I got
so
you.
So Dak is like, I can't get too close because I need all my money. I don't need 85%, 90% of my money. I need all my money. Skip, it's just hard for me to imagine that Dak Prescott has navigated the minefield. Now, he got nicked a little bit, but it didn't knock him out. Put cortisone in that shoulder again. They're going to numb it up, you know, give him some pain medicine again. Mm-hmm. But he navigated. He's going to come out of this season. It's hard for me to believe that I won't give you a discount in the beginning, but I navigate these murky waters. But now I'm on the other side, and I'm looking across like, hey, he's going to be close to 5,000 yards, could possibly be 30 touchdowns, and I'm going to give you a discount now? No, he's not going to skip. He's not going to take less than what Jared Goff or Carson Wentz. That was always, Skip, that was always the floor. That was for him because you said, I don't believe you can make the case for Jared Goff. Okay, I think Wentz is better considering the weapons that he has. Mm. But he's not going to take less, Skip. You know that now. You know that.
Well, Jen summed it up to start this off. Franchise tag, here we come.
Oh, I love that. Yep. I love franchise tag. Bad blood. Oh, because you bet against me. Well, in other words, you put that franchise tag on me, you bet against me.
We will have the Dallas version of the Kirk Cousins syndrome in Washington.
You know,
right?
And you know how that is. Mm-hmm. But see, Kirk is like, hold on. That's $24, $25 million against your cap, hard money that you could have prorated when you gave me this contract. And guess what, Skip? Kirk says, all I got to do is end up healthy. Mm. Skip, there's never a situation that the guy that's a free agent, if he finishes the season healthy, somebody's going to pay him on the open market.
Yep.
If Dak hits the open market, you don't think Jacksonville will be a major player?
No, they would. A lot of people.
Exactly.
Plenty of people.
So Dak like, oh, yeah, I'm good. Mm. Skip, that hurt.
I'm not good.
No lack of drama in Dallas.
Nope, never. No mercy.
According to Fox Bet, the Eagles are 4-point favorites against the Giants, while the Cowboys are favored by 10.5 points at home against the Redskins Sunday. Eric Dickerson back with us this morning. ED, how does the NFC East shake out?
What have I been saying all year, Skip? What have I been talking
about? You're sticking with that?
What did I say?
You said the Cowboys are going to win the East.
Okay, I'm sticking with it. I'm going to tell you something. When you go back, even in my era, I'm sure your era too, the Giants and the Eagles, that was a big rivalry game.
It is.
And it still is. No matter how bad they are, it's still a big rivalry game. The next big rivalry game was the Dallas Cowboys and the Washington Redskins. Mm-hmm. To me, the Eagles don't have a lot. I look at this game, the Eagles put everything on the table last week to beat the Cowboys. Everything. We gave everything we got. Mm. Overlooking that we have one more game left.
Right.
We got another game left. A game that Daniel Jones, who had over 300 yards passing, Saquon Barkley,
five
TD, no interception. And to me, finally it shows that if he's not the best, he's one of the best running backs in the National Football League, Saquon Barkley. He's exciting. I mean, he's fast.
He can run. Better than Zeke now, Skip?
He can run around you.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Oh, yo, you.
Today, he is.
You know, I'm looking at that football game. I think the Giants are going to beat them. I really do. Because, you know, if I'm the Giants, I have, you know how it is.
We ain't got nothing to lose. You know, we're going to run a double reverse throwback to the quarterback.
Onside kick, you fake punch.
Yeah, really, fake punt. It's fourth and inches, and we in our territory. So what?
Because remember, the Giants coach is about to get fired.
They're going to let it go. So who cares? So I just feel like that the Giants will win this football game, and I feel like the Cowboys... I think the Cowboys would beat the Redskins.
Do you?
Oh, come on, Skip. Come
well,
on.
Well, convince me.
Well, first of all, the Cowboys are more talented. And I believe that the Cowboys have pride. They're at home. That's the big thing. They're in Dallas. It's the last regular season game. If we win, we got our own fate in our hands. You know, it's not like the game last week. That game was a big game. And I feel like Philly, to me, they overperformed, but they beat them. And I think the Cowboys beat themselves in a lot of ways, too. But this football game, the Cowboys are so much better than the Redskins. You know, I look at the Redskins is doing one thing very well. Bill Callahan ran the football. And they, you know what the Cowboys should do? Maybe we should hire him. Because I'm going to tell you, people look at...
He was there.
He was there. I'm going to tell you, he reminds me of... He's like a modern-day Hudson Hauk.
Hudson Hauk
was the offensive line coach of Cowboys. It was my offensive line coach, the Rams. We ran the football.
He's all-time great. Right up there with Dante Scarnecchia.
Thank you, in New England. Because they know how to run the football. They know how to get your guy. You know the big thing?
Scarnecchia?
Yeah, at the coach. He was at the coach with me.
No, but he was with the SMU.
He was at SMU with me. You're right. One thing about those guys, stay on your block. Stay on your block. They preach it. Stay on your block. I don't forget Hudson Hawk when I got hit in practice one day. He said, Eric, stop. He said, hey, told the lineman, how about I put you in the backfield? Let you get hit like that. Yeah. We're not hitting our backs. I'm like, hey, I like this guy.
Yeah.
So for me, I'm going with the Dallas Cowboys and I'm going with the New York Giants. Mm.
Well, I picked the Eagles, but I told Skip earlier, I would not be surprised if the Giants won this game because if you look at the way they played the last couple of weeks, Saquon has gotten healthy. They gave Eli his coronation. They let him have the last start before... two starts ago, let him have his start at home. Let him go on his consolation prize. Hey, Eli, appreciate what you've done for this city, what you've done for this team. And but they played really well. And if you go back, Skip, the Eagles lost to Miami. And then they came home and they played the Giants. Played the Giants. Eli had them 17-3 at the half. And they had to mount a furious comeback and they ended up winning that ball game. I think they won in overtime.
They did.
They last second, they had to beat Washington. With a rookie quarterback, Daniel Jones.
Case Keenum finished up that game.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Philly beat Washington with Dwayne Haskins. They finished up, Case Keenum finished up last week. But when you look at it, when you look at what I see with the Giants, they're a very competent offense. Now, defense leaves a lot to be desired. That's notwithstanding, but the question is, and we talked about this earlier, Edie, Skip, and I said, I'm not so sure that they didn't put all their eggs in an emotional basket against Dallas because they knew if they didn't beat Dallas, nothing else mattered. And they got up. That was as good a game as I've seen the Eagles play all year. Next to the game that went on the road and they fell behind, 10-0, 14-0 to Green Bay, and they ended up winning that game, that might have been the best game that I've seen the Eagles play all year long, given the opponent and given what was at stake. So with that being said, I took the Eagles in a close ball game, 30-27. But if the Giants win, am I going to be like, man, where did that come from? No. But the Cowboys are going to do a number on Washington. Yeah, they're going to do a number on them. Mm-hmm. They're not very good. Mm-hmm. So, and Red going to make it hard for Jerry to fire him. Mm-hmm. So he's going to hang 38 on me.
Yeah, you hope. So I'll be the first to admit, this year has been the most nightmarish roller coaster ride of my sports watching life. I believed in this team. I thought it was a Super Bowl team. I predicted it would win the NFC, and it has been favored in every game except the one at New England.
Mm-hmm.
7-8? 7-8, and you've been favored in every game except one? And I have... It has torn my guts out so many nights watching this team lose and have to deal with you on Monday morning that I'm shot. My psyche is shot to pieces where I'm done with them and I believe they're done with the season. And I think you're going to see another flat, lifeless effort for my team from the kickoff. I am a big Bill Callahan fan, and I covered his Raiders team that made it to the Super Bowl in his first year as a head coach, replacing John Gruden. Obviously, they got embarrassed in the Super Bowl by Gruden's team,
right?
Tampa Bay, which was just a much better football team.
Yeah.
And they did know the quote-unquote signals. They were, running the plays before
it was Gruden's offense.
It was Gruden's offense. But the point is, I'm a big Bill Callahan fan, and I think he has it in for Dallas because I don't know why they let him go. I still don't get it because he did really well for them as their offensive line coach. I think Jerry thought he wanted too much money, whatever. They got crossways, sideways, and he's in Washington now. Right. And if I'm the Redskins, I'm going to keep him. But I don't know that they will. He's still interim.
Yeah, the guys that are committed, like Hudson Hauk, and you mentioned Skarnecchia, we had a guy named Alex Gibb who basically has his own running scheme.
He's great.
Bruh, we good enough to buzz, we running it 25 times. I don't care what you do, how good you are in running. We're going to run the ball.
Okay, but remember, players tend to love Bill Callahan.
Yeah.
They're going to play hard for him. That team hates the Cowboys, and they would like to send them home embarrassed again. So they would like nothing more as a group of players to go in there and win this football game. It's not going to do the franchise any good because it's going to knock them down and maybe out of the Chase Young chase, so to speak, with the number two overall pick, if in fact he's there at number two. So the point is, Case Keenum will battle you. He is the shrewdest of veteran operators. And what did he do on opening day, Mr. Sharp, at Philadelphia?
He threw a party against Philly.
He threw for 380 yards and three touchdowns and a sweet little backdoor cover that won me another case of Diet Dew. And that's what he is all about. He is most dangerous in games like this one. He did create the Minnesota miracle that knocked the Saints out of the playoffs.
But, Skip, here's the thing. His first three games were the best. He threw for 380, 221 against the Cowboys, 332 against the Bears. But only three times have he thrown for more than 170 yards, and he started nine games. Hence, that's why Haskins is in. Skip, he can only
do so much.
They're going to come get him. They're going to come get him. He's a small man, and the Cowboys are going to be playing for Red's job. So when it's time to come, Skip, what misery loves company. Now, that's what I'm saying about the Giants. That's why it's not going to be easy for Philadelphia. It's like, we're not going to play out.
Y'all ain't going in.
Yeah, exactly. What y'all got going on Monday? Because we going home. Guess where y'all going Monday to? Home with us.
I thought you said Carson Wentz is on a Hall of Fame arc.
Yeah.
You told me.
Skip.
So you're basically betting against Carson Wentz.
No, Skip. I picked the Eagles, but I know what the Giants represent, and I know teams that when they have nothing to lose.
Yeah, you're doing the classic disqualifier pick where you're saying, I won't be surprised.
I won't be.
What he doing? What you do? He's protecting himself.
He's protecting himself. I like to use the word like Skip Bayless says, caveat.
Yeah, he's protecting himself.
I think he's picking both teams.
No.
That's what he's doing.
No,
that's what the outcomes cost to me.
I picked the Cowboys to win 38-17.
No, you're picking both the Giants and the Eagles. I think the Eagles are going to win, but don't be surprised. Then you make a stronger case for the Giants. And as soon as he started making his Giants case, you're like, yeah, I told you.
I told you.
Yeah.
What did I tell you? Right? I told you Monday when I came in here, once I got past my gloating, once I got past my gleefulness, I told you. I said, Skip, I know they beat the Cowboys, but the Giants are going to be a different animal. Skip, you watch the Giants. You watch Saquon.
I've watched their defense. It's pathetic.
Yes.
It's even worse than my defense in Dallas, and mine's not very good.
But you make it seem like the Eagles, the steel curtain. I mean, they rolled up against the Cowboys.
They ain't saying much. We couldn't get the ball in the end zone against that defense.
Oh, that's happened before with you guys.
Let me ask you this, Skip. Remember the first when the season started?
Yeah.
When they beat the Redskins, they beat the Giants.
Miami.
And what did they say?
You kept saying, nobody.
We going to the Super Bowl? Yeah. I mean, we going to the Super Bowl. Now, let's fast forward. You know, they have a chance to make the playoffs. So you telling me, if the Dallas Cowboys win and the Giants win, so that means the Cowboys
win the playoffs.
They win the division.
Great.
You not going to be pulling for your Cowboys?
Mm-mm.
Come on, Skip.
Wait a second.
Come on, Skip. My team
does not deserve
game. Well, let's go hypothetical.
It's been an embarrassment all year. It does not deserve it.
Let's just say whoever they play. Let's say they go there and beat them. They beat their first opponent.
It's Seattle. So that means probably Seattle.
Seattle.
They beat their first opponent.
Well, I just told you. I think Seattle's going to beat San Francisco. It could be the 49ers.
Right. Yeah, right.
Good luck with that.
Let's say they beat them. Let's go hypothetical. Let's say they beat them at home. Wherever they play them, will you be like, oh, no, they're going to
lose? It'd be at home.
It'd be at home. Yeah, 4-5 matchup.
So you tell me you would be excited.
Yeah, let's do the unhypothetical. What if the 49ers come to Jerry World and just annihilate Dallas and it's like another 44-0? And it's an embarrassment, and it's miserable, and I have to come in here another Monday, and it meant nothing. It got me nowhere except maybe Jason Garrett will come back next year.
I want to see him win because I want to see the look on you. I want to see you pick your jersey up out the trash can, get your Dallas Cowboy hat, and put it back on.
No. Because now you're going to see the video of me with that cutout of Dak Prescott throwing him in the trash can. I got a cardboard cutout of Dak. Because you know Dak do a lot of commercials, too, while you're over there talking about Baker Mayfield.
That's right.
Yeah, old Dak got the chunky soup and yogurt and all that.
Okay, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Carson Wentz is going to have a huge day.
Oh, my God.
And the Eagles are going to roll 35-14. And it's going to be 14-0 after a quarter. And the score will trickle down to the Cowboys sideline. And they will quit for the rest of the game.
I hope so.
Just watch. And they will lose to Case Keenum.
No.
27-24. Case closed. Case closed.
We will see. Awesome stuff this morning, gentlemen.
How about them Cowboys?
No mercy.
Today's big story out of New Orleans. Antonio Brown back on the field working out for the Saints this morning. New Orleans is working out a group of receivers along with Brown. AB has not played since week 2, and the NFL has made it clear that if any team signs the receiver, AB is likely headed to the commissioner's exempt list until his investigation is completed by the league. Shannon, what do you make of this workout?
I mean, obviously, he's still an immensely talented player, although troubled. You know, it's being reported that the Saints are doing their due diligence. But, Skip, this makes no sense to me. You're not going to play. He's not going to play this year. I don't know. He can't help you this year. Like I said, maybe you signing him so you can have the opportunity to have dibs on his future services.
Yep.
But this year, we're talking about this year. It makes no sense because the league has made it abundantly clear. And reading the memo that they sent, that he's going on the commissioner's exempt list. Until this is resolved through the courts, he's not playing. So for them, and I understand Sean Payton, maybe he's giving the NFL the middle finger. You know, you took a year from me coaching with Bounty Gate when I said I had nothing.
Yep.
And the commissioner told me, he said, you should have known it's your football team. That call last year was hideous, outrageous. And we came up with this cockamamie, and they very seldom overrule obvious P.I. Skip.
Yep.
Some as blatant as what happened last year in New Orleans, and they still don't overrule him.
Yep.
Maybe that's his way of saying, but it doesn't. They're going to have, if the Saints were to sign Antonio Brown, they're going to have two breaking news stories running simultaneous. New Orleans Saints signs Antonio Brown. Breaking news, NFL puts Antonio Brown on commissioner's exempt list. That's what's going to happen, Skip. He's not going to play until this is resolved. And there has been no resolution to these allegations that's been brought before Antonio Brown.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully he can get past this, and in 2020, he can get his life turned around, and he can get on someone's football team. But right now, as I'm looking at it, this makes no sense to me for the New Orleans Saints.
Hmm. Nor does it make any sense to me, unless I'm missing something here.
Yeah.
Because Sean Payton is a shrewd operator. And again, he does have lots of axes to grind with the league. Jen knows him well, covered the Saints, lives in New Orleans. Is there any loophole we're missing here where he thinks he can somehow make him eligible just because they haven't ruled on it yet?
Skip, the Patriots would have already figured it out. You know, the Patriots had everybody on everything.
Okay, but remember, Antonio burned that bridge down when he took the shot at Robert Kraft.
Right.
Well, and he burned it down to start with by the group text back to the woman who had accused him. And it was so blatant and so egregious that even Robert Kraft finally said, that's enough. Right?
Yep.
And then he burned that bridge completely to the ground when he took the shot at Robert Kraft as he left.
Right.
Because he takes lots of parting shots at lots of people.
At everybody.
So is it possible that Sean Payton found some way that he could make him eligible just for the playoffs, in that because the NFL has dragged its feet, they haven't ruled on this yet. They did bring Antonio, you remember, to New York.
Mm-hmm.
It was reported he was not very forthcoming about any of this, right?
And so guess what? They're not going to be very forthcoming in their judgment. They're like, you want to drag your feet, we drag our feet. Let's see who can last the longer. Because guess what? They're going to be the 101st year, the 102nd year, yep, the 103rd year. Antonio Brown is not going to play in the NFL as long as the NFL is going to be in existence.
Okay. So now I'm just going to do the hypothetical of on the football field, in the locker room, if Antonio Brown is on this football team. I know it's a bizarre long shot that's going to happen right now.
Okay.
But let's just say, for sake of argument, that it does happen. You said that Michael Thomas, you told us earlier, has had a hand issue in practice. I don't know that that means he won't be able to play, but it might slow him down. So what if Antonio and Michael Thomas are on the same roster in the same lineup and wind up in the same huddle together I never love having two number one receivers. It rarely works. You can go all the way back to Terry Bradshaw's Steelers. It did work there because you had Swan and Stallworth, two Hall of Fame.
Well, they weren't catching but 35 passes a year.
Because they ran the football.
Exactly.
They
it
did.
Wasn't like one guy go catch 80, the other guy's go catch 25.
And we hadn't yet had diva receivers where they hadn't, there's no social media.
Right.
So Lynn Swan was really good, and he made circus catches in the Super Bowl and at USC.
Right.
But again, they didn't have diva egos that clashed behind closed doors. To me, Michael Thomas has earned the right to be the clear-cut number one receiver in New Orleans, right?
Yeah.
Well, trust me, if Antonio somehow winds up in that locker room and in that huddle, he will want to be and demand to be the number one receiver.
And back then, Skip, you know head coaches had all the control.
All the control.
All.
Okay?
You play for them or you play for no one. There's no way I'm demanding a trade. No, you weren't going anywhere.
Okay, so what happened to Baker Mayfield this year in Cleveland? He did have Jarvis, and it worked really beautifully last year because he had Jarvis and a bunch of no-names.
Right.
And all of a sudden, he had Jarvis and Odell, and they started to, I think, quietly clash about who gets the most targets, who gets the most balls. And Odell was never happy in Cleveland. He might not have ever been happy in Cleveland, period, end of story. But in this case, I don't think Michael Thomas will ever be happy with Antonio in the same lineup.
To your point, somebody's going to have to make a concession. Somebody's going to have to say, you know what, he's the guy. Because eventually it's going to end up, somebody's going to have to go. That's what happened with T.O. and Jerry. Eventually T.O. became, hold on, this guy's the number one. Well, that's Jerry Rice over there.
Mm-hmm.
One of them's going to have to go. So they went with the younger T.O. Some inevitably, and that's what you started to see, and that's what rubbed Antonio the wrong way, Skip.
It did.
Juju. All of a sudden, now Juju ain't getting 45, 50 passes. Juju getting 102.
And Juju was voted by the players the MVP
team. No. I might concede him getting 100 catches, but I need to be the MVP. Y'all know I'm more valuable than Juju.
Yep.
So something's going to have to give, Skip. And like I said, the only thing that I can see, Skip, first of all, there's not a rule because the NFL will come up with another rule that says he's not going to play. So you're not going to beat this game. The NFL, because you know Article 46, commissioner got broad-ranging powers.
The broadest.
So he's like, nah, he ain't playing because I said so. And Article 46 gave me that. So what you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Unless this is all about 2020, I don't see a scenario where this is favorable for them in 2019.
Mm.
I hope Antonio gets this thing resolved. Antonio Brown gets the help that he needs, that he can go ahead and finish up the last couple of years, two, three, four, how many years he gonna play in the NFL. But right now, as we sit here and we talk about this, I don't see a situation where this is like, oh, the Saints got, man, Saints gonna sign Antonio. And that's like having a nice car, Skip, that you don't have the keys to.
Okay.
What are you gonna do with it? Just look at it? Because he's just gonna be walking in and out of your. I don't know, Kenny. I don't even know if he can be around. If he's on the commissioner's exempt list, I don't even know if he can be around the team.
Cannot.
So what good is that?
The only advantage I see is that car that's sitting in the garage is free because if I understand it correctly, if you go on the exempt list, commissioner's exempt list now, the team does not have to pay you. It becomes the league's responsibility to pay you out of what would become the playoff pool of the NFL.
Right.
So it would cost the Saints nothing to sign him as a futures choice, you know, like
But what it'll be, Skip, he would be getting, all he would get was a part of the playoff pool that the Saints players would be getting.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, so all the Saints players are going to be getting the same thing. Okay, you win. Say it's like $40,000 for, I don't know if they get a first, if they're a wild card, maybe it's $35,000, whoever. So that's what he'd be getting. It's not like he's going to be getting, because it's not like the teams play the playoff salaries anyway. That comes from the NFL and from the playoff pool that you were talking about.
Okay.
So no harm, no foul there. They got no problem with that. He's a member of a roster, so he gets a percentage, a part of the playoff money.
Yep.
Okay, but what good, how does that help the Saints?
You can buy low right now because you can get him because he's going to have to come with helmet in hand saying, oh, what? I'll take the minimum, right? He just wants back in the league.
Well, here's the thing, Skip. Now, because it's in the playoff, all he would get would be the playoff money.
Yep.
Because you don't get your salary once the playoffs start. The playoffs is prorated over 17 weeks where the 17 weeks are up. So all he would get was the playoff money. So you'd be buying extremely, extremely low because you're basically going to, okay, we're going to sign you to a two-year deal basically and it's going to be minimum, but
we have your rights for 2020. Okay. That's all you're getting, Skip.
Okay, so now I come down to how will the NFL Players Association respond to this? Because effectively, Antonio has been suspended for a whole year, just effectively.
Right.
Like he's missed this whole season, right?
Right.
So when they do rule on him, obviously we don't have enough show left to go through all the misbehavior of Antonio Brown.
Right.
That's not to mention two sexual assault allegations that are still hanging over him.
Right.
So how does the league rule on just conduct unbecoming besides the sexual assault?
Right.
Well, the suspension should be, to me, we talked about this before, he should be gone for a year. Well, now, effectively, he has been gone for a year.
Right.
So will the NFLPA then
take
a stand and say, well, you got to reinstate him for next year because he effectively just served a whole year's suspension?
But he wasn't on the roster. You got to be on the roster to be able to serve a suspension. Who is he with? And the thing was, Skip, remember, he said he wanted release. When a part of the arbitration thing that he said the Raiders released him without cause, Mark Davis showed him the text. He sent me a text that said, release me.
Yeah, he did. Okay.
Okay, so what?
So I don't think anybody has any quibble with the fact he's still extremely talented. And when we saw him just in practice in Oakland on Hard Knocks, sensational.
Yes.
When I saw him for a little burst with Tom Brady, sensational.
Yes.
I don't have any doubt about that.
He's extremely double T.
Yeah.
Talented and troubled.
Yep, he is. Double T.
We'll
maybe emphasis on the second.
Yes.
It'll be a drama worth watching.
I'd say. Sure. No mercy.
Carson Wentz has had an up and down season, shall we say, but he might have figured it out at just the right time. Last four games, Wentz is averaging over 300 yards a game and three touchdowns to go along with a 3-1 record. After their big win against the Cowboys, Doug Peterson said, quote, "Now we're starting to see just who Carson is." Shannon, you've been a fan for a while. Do you agree with Peterson?
No, I agree with him wholeheartedly.
Mm.
Sick of that notion. Yeah, Skip Bayless.
Yeah, why?
You know why. I've been telling you this all along, and this is why talent evaluators constantly try to bam into your head that walking to him is better than Dak.
Yeah, because they all dug in on Carson Wentz before he was the third coming or the fourth coming or some coming.
As Jen read the stats, last 3 weeks, 70% completion, over 300 yards passing, 6 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. And he's doing this, banged up Zach Ertz, no Alshon, no Aguilar. Thank God for that. No D-Jack. Greg Ward Jr.
He's really good.
Yeah, no, he really good.
Mm-hmm.
The man been cut 3 times. We tried to get rid of him as many times. He kept coming back.
They kept him on their practice squad because they couldn't figure out how to get him on the roster. And they're admitting now we made a mistake. He should have been ahead of Aguilar on the roster.
First of all, this is how waivers work, Jen. I know you know this because you cover the same file. When someone release you, you're undrafted, you could get the sign.
Mm.
You're gonna go wherever. Anybody can claim you. Mm. Nobody claimed him. Guess what? On the practice squad, somebody's like, you know what? That guy over there on the practice squad, I like him.
Mm.
I'm gonna bring him in. You can't sign him to your practice squad, you gotta bring him to your active roster.
Mm.
Someone could have did that. Nobody did that.
Boy, he looks good to me.
Yeah, he sure does.
Mm-hmm.
Guy look a lot better with a walking to him, throwing it to him, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we got our favorite Whiteside, who is, you know, hey, he's a rookie, and he's going through his rookie, you know, tolls.
Mm-hmm.
But Skip, look, just imagine if he had Gallup and Cooper.
I wish he had Cooper.
Hold on. The guy that you said changed Dak's life.
Mm-hmm.
Dak was never the same.
Mm-hmm.
Now you want to get him away. Give him away, huh?
The guy who walked right out of the game at New England and said, I just can't deal with him. He's too good for me. Stephon Gilmore, I quit. No mas.
Skip, this guy's doing this, and he got two guys. Greg Ward Jr., who was a college quarterback. Yes, he played some receiver early, but he was known as being a college quarterback and a guy that has two last names, Boston Scott.
Mm.
Giving it, folks. And then we got Miles Sanders starting to come on into his own.
Mm.
But this is all about walking to him. This is why you move up. This is why you move heaven and earth.
Mm.
This is why to get a guy like this, a big, strong, 6'5", 240-pound guy that can shake him off and can make all the throws. Mm. And when he doesn't have all his weapons, can still win your game.
Really? Didn't mention a guy named Dallas Goedert, who's a real weapon. I wish I had a backup. I wish I had any
You got Blake Jarwin.
Yeah, who never gets on the field.
Whose fault is that?
Maybe Jason Witten and Jason Garrett's fault.
No, right? Jerry Jones.
Yeah, maybe Jerry Jones' fault. And you didn't mention Miles Sanders, who's right now playing at a much higher level than Ezekiel Elliott.
Oh, stop,
playing.
Skip.
Oh, no, I'm starting because he is playing at a supremely high level. So to answer the question, yeah, we're seeing the real Carson Wentz by default.
What do you mean default?
By default. Because you and I both sat and watched the Giants game on that is a night game.
Yeah.
And what happened? Carson Wentz was atrocious in that game for 3.5 quarters, and it was everything I don't believe in him about. He was deer in headlines. He was bounce it to him Wentz. He was wild high. He was wild low. He was just wild off.
But
in the end, against the defense that is 29th in points allowed, the Giants defense, which he is about to shred on Sunday, against that defense, he finally caught a little lightning in a little tiny bottle. And somehow they survived to overtime. They barely got to overtime, and then they won it in overtime.
If you don't mind,
against the 29th defense in points.
If you don't mind me asking,
way to go.
How many comfort behind victories do your guy have this year?
We're talking about Carson Wentz.
That's what I'm saying. So you said you want to see a guy comfort behind?
Against the Giants. When you stunk it up for 3.5 quarters the way I've rarely seen a quarterback stink it up, your QBR for the game was 53. It's barely above average for the game, which is why he stuck down there 10th in QBR.
When I say Dak Prescott had been terrible, he was down 21-3. He was down 31-3.
I'm talking about Carson Wentz. Did you ask about Dak Prescott?
No, but I need
I don't remember.
I need you
Maybe
to have,
I missed the question. No.
I need you to have the same
because
standard.
Because you don't have any ammo.
Skip.
You can't fire back. What happened at Washington? He was often not very good at Washington.
And what did he do?
They were behind 27.
And what did he
do? Wait a second. I'm finishing.
Okay.
They were behind 27-24 with 4 minutes left in the game. And another late drive against a bad defense. He finally got it together and finally hit Greg Ward Jr. because they got a little rapport going. They got a little wavelength.
Yes.
They got a little symbiotic relationship
wait a
here. Because that guy is a receiver of a quarterback, and he's thinking the way Carson thinks.
Hold on.
So he got loose with 4 seconds left in the game for the winning touchdown.
I'm confused that you're punishing Carson Wentz for what we've given so many other quarterbacks credit for. Tom Brady, come from behind, not play very well, but find a way to win the game. The Peyton Mannings, the Drew Breeses, all the guys that for some reason, that particular day, they're not on their best behavior. Mm. But somehow, when they need to make plays to get their team into the end zone and win the game, they do it. Now you're punishing walking to him for that?
Punishing that, but he was just pretty awful for much of both those games.
Well,
what did he do with 7 minutes left in the Washington game at Washington? He fumbled.
He won it.
He is fumbling-a.
What about your guy? See, here's the thing. My guy just happened to be better than your guy, and you get an opportunity to see it.
Mm.
Your
guy pull off a come-from-ahead victory because against my team, my defense did not show up, as usual, at kickoff.
He converts
some third and long.
Yes.
And they go down and score, and
yes.
then they go down and field goal, and it's 10-0, and the game was virtually over.
Okay, we went down and score. It's 7-0. The Cowboys get the ball, led by Dak Prescott, who leads, Jen, I don't know if you know this, that Dak Prescott and the Cowboys lead the NFL in total offense.
Mm-hmm.
They went 3-and-out.
Mm.
Okay, they go down and get another field goal.
Yep.
It's 10-0.
Mm.
Dak Prescott and the Cowboys that lead the NFL in yards go 3-and-out. Okay, they go get the last touchdown to make it 17. And what does Dak Prescott and the Cowboys that lead the NFL in offense do? 3-and-out. So Dak had an opportunity to match walk it to him, and every step of the way, what did he do? Spit the bit.
He took cortisone shots.
No,
that's what he took. You know it, and I know it. That was not. He was not right.
But
when
I tried to tell,
that was not Dak Prescott.
That was, who was that?
All I heard about Carson Wentz last year. He was hurt.
You say no. You say no. My quarterback is just a little better than your quarterback. That's all you. I say, Skip. The man had ACL.
Who showed up your quarterback in the previous three games before Sunday's game? My quarterback.
No.
Who threw parties on the Eagles 3 straight games at Philly last year, at Jerry World, and then at Jerry World this
I'm
year?
I'm only giving you credit for.
I played him all three.
I'm only giving you credit for one, and that was this year. The previous two, he was hurt.
Oh, okay. Well, my guy was really hurt.
No,
couldn't even practice before the game of the year.
And the guy in his back
Yo, there's nothing wrong with it. I said, Skip, the man looks, I mean, that's not walking to him. I know the guy. I've been following this guy.
Well, I definitely know Dak Prescott, and he's better than Carson Wentz.
No, he's not.
But this Sunday, what? Carson Wentz is going to have a walk in the park.
So what does talent evaluator say when they ask you about Carson Wentz and Dak Prescott? What do they say?
I don't know. Who's the talent?
You know.
I'm my own talent
evaluator.
Okay,
and you should know that my guy, walking to him, is better than your guy.
My guy has consistently played at a higher level than your guy.
Not this year.
Your guy is basic deer in headlights.
Not this year.
If they get off right, it can be okay. And if they're playing the 29 scoring defense, he can get it together late.
Who's the biggest
We're seeing
runner?
The real Carson Wentz.
The college football playoffs get underway tomorrow. Heisman winner Joe Burrow and LSU take on Jalen Hurts in Oklahoma in the Peach Bowl, while Ohio State will take on Clemson in the Fiesta Bowl. Shannon, let's start with that game. Who wins, Ohio State versus Clemson?
I'm going to take Clemson. They're better. They've been flying under the radar, and I know Coach Sweeney Dabo kind of well. We speak. Hadn't spoke to him. I sent him a text this morning. But, Skip, I think they've been flying under the radar. He's going to play the disrespect card. Mm-hmm. He's like, they was hoping we lose so they couldn't have to put us in the playoffs.
That's true.
Let's go show the world what we're about and follow this thing up, because nobody's done it in the playoff era. Followed it up, win the national championship, and followed up the following year with another one. So I'm going to take them I'm going to say they win 38-31.
Really? Well, we're almost exactly the same. I got 38-30 Clemson just because I got Dabo over a rookie head coach in Ryan Day.
Okay.
The important game now.
Yes.
LSU.
For the game.
Yes.
Go Tigers, go Tigers, go Tigers. Yeah. Who you got in that one?
OU's defense isn't very good. They haven't been very good in a long time. And just like Bama proved last year, the offense is going to be too much. Now, Edwards-Helaire, the great little dynamo running back.
He is a dynamo.
Now, he's a game-time decision.
And I think it's going to be no decision. I don't think he can go.
And the thing is, Skip, he will definitely make OU's job a lot easier. But I'm going to say Joe Burrow is on having a Cinderella-type season, and it doesn't end yet. I'm going big. I'm going 45-28.
Are you? Jen is not going to like what I have a gut feeling about, because I did grow up a University of Oklahoma football fan, and I just have a feeling that Jalen Hurts is going to outplay Joe Burrow, because there is a long history of Heisman winners having a hard time in bowl games because they get pulled in so many new directions. Jalen Hurts reminds me of Le'Veon in his prime at Pittsburgh as a runner, because he is a patient punisher, and I believe they can control the football with him running it and throwing it to CeeDee Lamb and just play ball control, keep away, and keep Joe Burrow to some extent on the sideline.
LSU got three CeeDee Lambs, but the thing is, he's not getting enough credit, Skip. He's the only guy that started three of these in the playoff era. Jalen Hurts has started three playoff games.
Thank you.
Go Tigers. I got
Go Tigers.
I got
That's
30.
It for us.
No mercy. Thank you for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Keep an eye out for the weekend edition of the podcast tomorrow morning, featuring this week's best segments. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Facts. Sports. One of one. One. Of one. Of one. One.